Now, from time to time, we all face trials, sometimes a personal crisis in our life. And these issues create tremendous emotional strain as we try to battle whatever issue it is before us. The crisis can be a short-term one. It can be long-term. It could be something that we're dealing with weeks, months, or perhaps even years. The question is, what is a key to dealing with a personal crisis? What is a key to dealing with a personal crisis? To answer that question, we're going to review the story of Hannah as recorded in the Old Testament. This story provides us with a major key that we need to employ when we face a serious trial or a crisis in our life. So let's open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel. Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. First Samuel 1, in verse 1, a certain man named Elkanah, verse 2. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This book is a continuation of the book of Judges. Now, we first read here a man, Elkanah, had two wives. And perhaps we can interject some wise words from the Expositor's Bible Commentary about two wives. Quote, although polygamy was not God's intention for mankind, see Genesis 2:24, one flesh, one wife, having two wives accords with the polygamous culture of the ancient world. Although polygamy is never explicitly condemned in Scripture, its complications and unsavory results are everywhere apparent, unquote. Say amen to that. And we're going to see some proof in just a little bit. Let's keep reading here in verse 3. So this man went up to his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And talks about the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord. They were there. Verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, or a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, it's interesting, again, referring to the Expositor's Bible Commentary, they feel that this was probably Feast of Tabernacles, time. They note that the trip was up to Shiloh. That's where the temple was located at the time. As we know, there's three times a year that the people went up, three seasons of the year, Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. Another reason for thinking that it was the Feast of Tabernacles is that there were sacrifices being offered. And we see Elkanah offering portions of sacrificial meat to his one wife and children, but then, sufficient to give a double portion to Hannah. So that would be the bountiful type of giving that would be apparent at the Feast of Tabernacles, that time of ingathering all the fruits, the harvest throughout the year. It was the Feast of Tabernacles time. If that was, and it appears it was, you'd imagine there'd be a lot of celebration and joy in everyone, but not for Hannah. Not for Hannah, because she could not bear children. Now, being barren in ancient times was the ultimate tragedy for a woman, a married woman, since her husband's hopes and dreams depended on her providing him with a son to perpetuate the family name and to inherit his estate. Now, Hannah not only faced this crisis, really ongoing crisis in her life, but she had more trouble. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And certainly this is an indirect reference to the other wife of Elkanah, right? She has children, sons and daughters, it was noted. And it appears Hannah's being taunted, like, hey, look at my beautiful children from, you know, for that I can have for our husband. And, you know, and just kind of putting it right in her face. It made Hannah even more miserable. Verse 7, actually. As he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she, that is the other wife, provoked her. Therefore she cried. She did not even eat. She was just unbelievably miserable. And if this is the Feast of Tabernacle, it's the opposite of how you would feel or should feel at the feast. She dreaded going to the Feast of Tabernacles because this would be happening year by year. Verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? Why are you not eating? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Now, the only saving factor here so far was that her husband loved her dearly. He tried to encourage her, as we see, and it wasn't enough. It was not enough. Where could Hannah go and get the help that she needed? What could she do at this ongoing crisis in her life? Well, let's read in verse 9. Hannah rose after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now, it says, Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. She prayed to the Lord, and she wept sore. She's praying, she's crying. But we have, really, the answer to how she can deal with such a situation. You know, a huge key for us to always remember is to take our problems directly to God. And, you know, we can shed tears over our problem, and we can worry, and we can lament. We can explain to others. We can complain to others. We can look for help from our fellow individuals. But these actions might never solve our problem. That was actually the case with Hannah. But she did the right thing. She went to God. Verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give to your handmaid a man child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall not a razor come upon his head. So she begs God for relief. And she says, if I can have a son, I'm going to dedicate him to you. Even a Nazarite vow, which is indicated, which would be an official dedication to God for a specified period of time. Verse 12. It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli marked her out. Eli was, you know, he's a high priest. He's walking around. He's seeing what's going on. He's looking at Hannah. And it says in verse 13 that Hannah spoke in her heart, right? Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought that she was inebriated. That's what he thought. And Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away the wine from you. If you want any, the worst person to criticize you in the whole nation would be the high priest. And he's getting in her face and accusing her of being drunk in the temple. Mm-hmm. Hannah answered and said, "No, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine or strong drink, but I have poured out my soul," or poured out my heart, "before the Lord." So Hannah didn't just pray, but it certainly notes that she prayed her heart out. She left nothing back. And that is a major key in prayer. Certainly when we have a difficult situation, is to give it your all. I mean, pour your heart out to God. That's what she did. Verse 16, "Count not your handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken." Eli answered and he said, kind of gave her the salutation, a normal salutation, that, you know, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." Verse 18, and she said, "Well, let your handmaid find grace in your sight." So the woman went her way. She ate, and her countenance was no more sad. She got the relief of actually pouring her heart out, knowing and believing that God heard her, and that gave her comfort. It came to pass, verse 19. "They rose up in the morning early, and they worshiped before the Lord, returned, came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore, it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son. She bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord." So the impossible happened, right? The impossible happened. God answered her prayer, and she conceived a son who would be a prophet, who would be a great servant of God, and that is, of course, Samuel. Verse 21, "And the men of Elkanah and all his house, they went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I'll bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." That weaning process took roughly 2 to 3 years. And she wanted Samuel to be strong enough to make that trip up to Shiloh and be dedicated to the temple, dedicated to God. Verse 24. "When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, 3 bullocks, ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. The child was young. They slew a bullock, brought the child to Eli, the high priest. And she said, Oh, my Lord, as my soul lives, my Lord, I am that woman that stood by you there praying to the Lord. Do you remember me? Do you remember when you accused me of being drunk?" He probably was like, yep. Kind of. "For this child," she's presenting him at that time, "for this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition that I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he will be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. You know, it's just the ultimate great story, happy ending. She fulfilled her vow. Hannah was blessed. And what a great example of faith in a woman of God. So when we face a personal crisis or trial, and we will from time to time, don't just lament. Don't just feel sorry for yourself. Go to God like Hannah did. Pour out your heart to God. Ask for his special help. And after Hannah did, she was just comforted from doing that, knowing that God had heard her petition. Let's follow the wonderful example of Hannah.